Your Bible today to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read a familiar passage. In fact, I believe Pastor Joe preached from this passage just a few weeks ago. But it just there's just some things I want to bring out from this passage that to remind us, because I'm going to preach from Jesus stilling the storm at sea, and I want to remind us that God is still faithful in the storms. He is still faithful in the storms. Now, this particular account of the storm at sea and Jesus asleep in the ship, it's found in all three of the synoptic gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And each one brings out a little bit, maybe just a little shade different of detail. We're going to read Mark's account because he brings out a few things that the others don't. Although I will be mentioning some of the things the others bring out. But in Mark chapter 4, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to all of us. Beginning in verse 35, the Bible says, Mark 4:35, the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now you see, Mark brings out something here that the others don't. First, he brings out the fact that it's late in the evening when Jesus said, we're going to get in the boat, we're going to pass over to the other side. So that's not mentioned in Matthew or Luke that it was late in the evening. But the evening is here. He's been ministering all day. If you back up to the beginning of chapter 4, you'll see he got in the back of a little boat and was preaching. And the whole day he was preaching, he was teaching his disciples, he was teaching the multitude. It's been a long day. You know, the Lord was human. He got tired just like any other human. He got tired. He said, let us pass over to the other side. And here you also see the Lord's intent. The intent is we're going to pass over to the other side. Verse 36, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Now that also is not mentioned in Matthew or in Luke, that they were accompanied by other little ships. Now, you might not think it's a big deal, but I think it's an important fact that if you notice, there were also with him, verse 36, other little ships. They were being accompanied, followed by other little ships. So they were filled with passengers. No doubt they were disciples. They were with him. They were following also. He sent the multitude away, but there were others who said, we're going where you go, Lord. And they were following in other ships. So they weren't in the same boat with the Lord, but they did get caught in the same storm. So I think that's an important thing to notice as well. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. A great storm. Linsky, in his word studies in the Greek New Testament, translates this, the great storm of wind, he translates it a hurricane. They were caught in a hurricane. In Matthew's account calls it a mega seismos. A seismograph measures the upheaval, you know, shaking, moving of the earth. Mega, we know what mega is, huge, great, exceeding great. Well, that's how Matthew translates this passage, a mega seismos, a great storm, a tremendous storm, exceeding powerful, a windstorm, strong, translates it, a whirlwind, and Williams translates it a furious squall. And notice verse 37, the huge waves beat into the ship. They battered this ship, slammed against the ship. Now, I've never been a sailor that crossed the ocean in a ship, but I guess I've crossed the Gulf a few times in a ship, a cruise ship. But I have been in a small boat that got beat against by waves. Nothing like this, to be sure. But, you know, waves batter the side of a boat. It's like you're being slammed by a vehicle. The waves can beat against a boat, slam against a boat. And this is what it says. They beat into the ship. It was being battered by a watery battering ram, so that it was now full. The boat, the hull of the boat was filling up with water. One version translates it, and the waves dashed up into the boat so that it was already filling up. The English Revised Version says, the waves were coming over the sides and into the boat, and it was almost full of water. The New American Standard translates it in Matthew's account, Matthew 8:24, the boat was covered with the waves. It's a scary thing when the waves are so much bigger than you are. And where was Jesus in the storm? Well, verse 38 tells us where he was. Mark 4:38. He was in the hinder part of the ship. Now, we call the back of the boat the stern. I think in the bigger boats they call it aft, or just in the back. But he was in the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? Now, I don't think they said it as casually as I just said it. Master, carest not that we perish? I would think that there would be terror in their voice as the waves are battering the ship. This is a battering ram against the boat. It's tossed, it's turned, it's up, it's down. The hull is filling with water. I don't think they said, Master. No, I think they said, Lord, don't you care? We are perishing. He's asleep on a cushion. But remember, it's been a long day. He'd been teaching, preaching. He was exhausted. He had to be pretty tired for the battering of the ship and the tossing and the turning. Maybe it was rocking him comfortably to sleep, but nothing disturbed him. And I think that's an interesting point to make, that the storms of life don't disturb the Lord. He's undisturbed by the storms. And you know, we can have his peace. Master, carest not that we perish? One version translates it, don't you care that we're going to die? Weymouth, in his version of the New Testament, says, Rabbi, is it nothing to you that we are drowning? Lord, where is your concern for us? Where is your concern? I like the way Luke records the Lord's response in Luke 22:25. You know, same account, but here's the Lord's response. Where is my concern? Of course, he didn't say that, but that's, I think, implied. Where's my concern? The question is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Just like the Lord was undisturbed by the great storm at sea, the Lord expects you and I to trust him, no matter what kind of seas we sail through in life. No matter what's going on in life, the Lord expects us to trust him. Where is your faith? We're to trust in him. Whether we see him or not, whether we see immediate answers to our prayers or not, Whether we feel his presence with us or not, he expects us to trust him. Where is your faith? Luke's account. Even in the great storms of life, when danger besets us and it looks like death itself could be staring us in the face, you know, the Lord expects us to trust him. The fact is, anybody can trust the Lord when it's calm. We can all express our faith in a calm sea. We can all say, I got the joy, I got the victory, there's a song in my heart and praise on my lips. We can all trust the Lord and rejoice when the seas of life are calm. But God also expects us to trust him in the great storms. Where is your faith? Of course, Mark's account here. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? I want you to look with me to verse 39. He arose, he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. All three of the gospel records record that he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, or as Luke says, he said to the raging of the water, like it was some kind of a ravenous, rampaging beast. He said to the raging of the water, peace, be still. Literally, the Greek means be silent. Now, those of you who stayed through the hurricane, you know that the wind is not silent. The wind howls. The wind can scream. The wind can be terrifying. He said to the wind and the seas, shut up, be silent, be still. And the Bible says, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, verse 40, why are you so fearful? Or as Luke's account, where is your faith? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And verse 41 says, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Think about this. In just a moment of time, they went from being terrified, afraid for their very lives. They were afraid for their lives, in peril of drowning, afraid of the storm. And now the Bible says they feared exceedingly. They were exceedingly afraid of the man who controlled the wind and the waves. What manner of man is this? They had seen him command demons to come out. They had seen that. They had seen him. They had witnessed him heal sickness, leprosy, blindness. They had seen him heal paralysis. And now he exercises mastery over the wind and the waves. This man, what kind of man is this? This man is more than a man. This man is master of the wind and the waves. This man is God. But I want us to see that the Lord was faithful to them. He was faithful to protect them, faithful to preserve them, faithful to keep them safe through this storm and through every storm they went through. And to remind us today that God is still faithful in the storms. Yes. He is still faithful. Doesn't mean our boat won't get battered. It doesn't mean our lives won't experience upheaval, toss to and fro. Doesn't mean those things won't happen, but the Lord is still faithful in the storms. And seeing that we all just went through a great storm ourselves, a storm that tried us in many ways, stressed us, disrupted our lives, harassed us, buffeted us, and in many ways affected us all, and in some cases it's still affecting us and will affect us for some time to come. I thought it would be good to remind us today that our God is still faithful to us in the storms. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're experiencing, God is still faithful in the storms. And there are a few things I want to point out specifically this morning, just, I believe, to encourage us and to remind us that our God is still faithful in the storms. First of all, I want to remind us of this, that everyone will go through storms in this life. We all will. Now, that's just a simple fact. We know that. We also should know that there are no exceptions to this. We will all go through storms, no matter how good a Christian you are. You will go through storms. These were his own disciples. No one was closer to him than they were. And they were in peril of their very lives. They knew it. They knew their lives were in danger. They were terrified by the storm. But the Lord said these words to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." We're going to go over to the other side. We're going over to the other side. They were going to be with him in this journey to the other side. I would like to remind you of another passage. I'm going to come right back to Mark 4, but I would like to remind us of a passage in Acts 14. Keep your finger here in Mark 4. But if you would, turn with me over to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Again, another familiar passage, but one that I want to remind us of so that we don't think sometimes that we're the exception to the rule. Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Now, Paul and Barnabas, at this point in Acts 14, have been traveling through the cities of Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And notice Acts 14, verse 22. I'm in Acts 14, verse 22. Here he was. They returned again. They returned, verse 21 says, to Lystra and Iconium, Antioch and Derbe. They returned to these cities, and this is what they were doing, verse 22, confirming, King James says, confirming the souls of the disciples. It means strengthening. They were strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Continue. Persevere. Remain steadfast in the faith. And that. So he's strengthening them in this, exhorting them to continue, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We must through much trial, much affliction, much hardship, much suffering. We must through much, or through many trials, as it's usually translated, through many storms. We must through many storms enter into the kingdom of God. The road to heaven is not wide and broad and paved. The Bible says the road to heaven is straight and narrow. Straight meaning difficult. Difficult. In fact, it's difficult because there are so many obstacles. But it's straight and narrow. It's not wide, broad, and paved. It is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of heaven. Don't think that you're exempt from trial, trouble, tribulation, and the storms of life because you're a believer. It's just not so. The Bible says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it, few that continue along it. Some find it and abandon it. So he's exhorting the disciples, Acts 14:22, continue. You must continue in the faith. Continue. This is not the time to abandon the faith. This is not the time to doubt God, question God when you're going through trials and troubles and storms of life. But you know, the storms do reveal a lot of things. It reveals great strengths and it reveals great weaknesses. You can see it in how it leaves buildings and houses and so forth. Great strength is revealed through the storms, but also great weaknesses, great flaws. And the same thing is true with our lives. We go through storms like this, and strengths are revealed, and weaknesses are revealed. How do we respond? How do we act? How do we react to these things? The road to heaven? Well, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. So Paul's reminding them that they must continue down this road, following the Lord, no matter what storms batter our lives, no matter what trial, trouble, tribulation comes our way. None are exempt from the storms of life. And let me remind us also that Jesus himself was in this boat, in this storm, the same storm the Lord himself was in the storm. Of course, he handled it different than the way they handled it. But he was in the same storm. So it's kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. The Lord was with them in the fire. They weren't in the fire alone. And the Lord's with us in our storms, our troubles, our trials. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that. We're not in these things alone. Then there's 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I would like to read this verse as well. Talking about none of us are exempt from the storms. You can listen or you can turn here with me if you like. I'm going back to Mark 4 in a second. But 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 and 4, Paul is writing to the Thessalonian Christians who were going through a lot of discouragement and trials, persecutions, difficulties. You know, Christians go through those things sometimes. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. He says in 1 Thessalonians 3:3 that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Don't be moved by these trials, troubles, afflictions, difficulties, persecutions, storms. Don't be moved. Move means to be shaken. Don't be shaken by them. For you yourselves know, you know this, that we are appointed to this. This is our destiny. We are destined for this. Amen. We don't like to think about passages like that. We like to think that our destiny is, you know, wealth, riches, fame, success, the admiration of the multitudes. That's my destiny. Well, not to pop anybody's bubble, but Paul says your destiny in this world is to pass through trial and trouble and affliction on your way to the other side. We have to get to the other side. And the way to the other side is through trial, trouble, difficulty, and the storms of life. Interesting word, this word in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that we're not to be moved by these afflictions. The word means, it actually points to a dog's tail wagging. That's the idea. It wags back and forth. You know, a happy dog, back and forth. It has to do with being agitated. Not being still, not being calm. It's unsettled, like the movement of storms that is just, you know, like the wagging tail of a dog just doesn't seem to stop sometimes. these Thessalonians were young believers, and Paul was concerned for them. He was concerned that the trials that just kept coming might discourage them. Because it seemed like you're not even through one and another one's on its way or another one's beginning. Life can be that way. There are calm seas. Not everything is agitation, but there's plenty enough agitation in this life, in this world, that we have to go through, and that we not only have to go through, we have to trust the Lord through. We've got to remind ourselves, this is the way into the kingdom. The Lord's not going to let you get so comfortable here that you're going to love this life. That you're just going to love it, not want to leave it. He's not going to let that happen to you. Because He's going to remind you, this world's not your home. You can't stay. And like our sister Maida said, sometimes the Lord reminds us, maybe we're just a little too comfortable. And the Lord knows how to remind us that this is not home. So we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember, nobody's exempt. That brings me to another point. I'm in Mark chapter 4. Did you just keep your finger there? Yeah. All right, I'm going back to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. This storm at sea, the evening was come. He said unto them, let's pass over to the other side. I'd like for us to think of this storm or this voyage across the sea, kind of as the sea of life or as representative of life itself. We're like the disciples. We're following the Lord. We're following His will. We're following His plan. And He said, let us cross over. We're not alone in this. Let us, He's with us, let us cross over to the other side. So look at it this way. We're all on this journey across the sea of life on our way to the other side. We have a destination. The destination is the other side. Amen. The other side of this life. And we're all crossing over this sea. It's a short journey. In the light of eternity, Amen. Our lifetime, our journey across the sea of life is a short journey. And in this short journey, we will experience many things, the ups and downs, the battering, the calm, the joys, the sorrows, the laughter, the tears. We're going to go through it all. Sometimes this journey is zippity-doo-dah. It's a beautiful day. Mr. Sunshine, Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's just zippity-doo-dah. And then there's the storms. We like the calm seas. I do. All is well. Birds are singing. Flowers are growing. I like that. And then the storms come. I would like to remind us, too, that every one of us, every Christian, every one of us, we're all on this journey to the other side. And the Lord is with us. He's with each of us. He never leaves us. He doesn't abandon us. Sometimes it may seem like He's not hearing our prayers. It may seem like, is He asleep in the back of the ship somewhere? He's, you know, we're perishing. All kinds of things are going on here. Where is the Lord? But the Lord is with you. Don't ever doubt that. Amen. I mean, where is your faith? That's what He says. Where is your faith? I told you I'm going to get you to the other side. And you know, that's the Lord's intent. His intent is to get you to the other side. Thank you, Lord. Through this life, He will get you through to the other side. You stay with Him. Amen. You walk with Him. You trust Him. Where is your faith? Don't be fearful. Things are going to happen in this life. But He will get you safely to the other side. Thank you, Lord. This whole life is just a journey. Have you ever had a doctor ask you to take a stress test or ask if you've had a stress test? Yeah. You know, life is a stress test. A stress test? Yeah, life. Yeah. Have I ever had a stress test? Yeah, I would say so. Life. How about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? And then you have, when we have storms like this, the media goes into overdrive. And on top of all the COVID every day, 24/7, on top of all of that news, then the hurricane. And it starts when it's a thunderstorm somewhere. And all of a sudden, the media zeroes in on it, and they hype this thing up until everybody is a bundle of nerves. And you want to know what's going on, and at the same time, you don't want to know what's going on, because you know how it makes you feel. We also know that we can't take these major storms lightly. They do wield destructive power. They do kill people. So, you know, we don't want to be foolish, but at the same time, sometimes you just got to step away from the news people who say, we're all going to die. This is it. Then you've got the stress. Okay, I'm going to evacuate. You got the stress of evacuating. Or you've got the stress of staying and preparing and being equipped for the staying. If you're going to evacuate, you got the stress of the traffic. Where are you going to go? It's a big stress thing. And then, inevitably, you wind up staying with family, you're staying with friends, you're staying with... Then that's a stress. It's a stress on them, it's a stress on you. You become house guests with people. You know what they say about house guests? They start like a dead fish. They start smelling bad after a couple of days. The stress of people all being together under one roof. Not even counting financial stress. Here's what I would like for you to consider. We go through these storms. These storms can bring out the best in people. And they can bring out the worst in people. Amen. These storms can weigh on your very last nerve so that you are a bundle of stress. And when these things happen, sometimes people get sharp with each other. Sometimes people say things they ought not to say. They rub each other the wrong way. I'm glad to see you pointing at yourself back there, Glenn. Well, I think there's ways and times we can all be guilty. And it's not just when we're going through big, major cataclysms like this. The fact is, in this journey to the other side that we're all on, there are people around you who are going through storms you know nothing of. See this great big storm? We all went through this. But everybody is going through storms in their life at different times. And in their personal storms, there are stresses on them that you know nothing of. And sometimes people can be short with you or sharp with you, or they seem like they came across critical, or they came across harsh. How about we learn to give one another grace? And give one another the benefit of the doubt and love each other and shrug our shoulders. If people say something they shouldn't have said, how about we love them anyway? How about we forgive them and give them the benefit of the doubt? Because the fact is, people are going through storms you know nothing about. You don't know what stresses are on them. Give them grace. If they say something they shouldn't, you love them, you hug them, you just tell them, I love you, brother, I love you, sister. Call me if you need me. I just want you to know I love you. Amen. Let's not take offense and get upset with each other. So I will remind us, too, that God gives us all the grace that we need to overcome in these storms. You, remember what he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Lord, I need more of this. I need more. Well, my grace is sufficient for what you're going through. You have my grace. You have all you need to go through it. So this means we can be overcomers through the storms. Amen. We can overcome the storm itself. We can overcome each other. Which brings me to another point I'd like to make today, and that is that faith does not prevent the storms. Faith does not prevent the storms. Not storms like this. You know, we're in Mark chapter 4, this storm at sea. Jesus did not rebuke them for allowing this storm to come. There are things that are out of our control. He didn't rebuke them for allowing the storm to come. Some things just get dumped on our lap. That's just the way it is. That's life. We're not responsible for allowing the storms, but we are responsible for our response to the storms. How we respond to the storms. That's what we are responsible for. Verse 40 here in Mark 4, why are you so fearful? The fear, the panic, the terror. That's not the response the Lord was looking for from them. When he said, let's go over to the other side, he meant he was going to be with them. He would never leave them or forsake them. Doesn't the Bible say that? I'll never leave you. In fact, Hebrews 13 says in verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's literally how it reads. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So that being true, let's not panic in the storms. The Lord is with us. He said, let us pass over to the other side. The Lord intends to be with you every step of this journey. His promise to you, his promise to me is, I'll get you there. I'll get you there. I'll get you to the other side. I guess we could ask ourselves, who was really responsible for this storm? Could be the devil. He is the prince of power of the air. He's the God, small g, of this world. He knew who Jesus was. I mean, his demons said, we know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. The demons knew who Jesus was. The devil knew who Jesus was. Now, I don't believe the devil knew what Jesus was up to. Because, you know, the devil's not all-knowing. He doesn't have all knowledge. But he knew whatever the Lord was up to, it wasn't going to be good for him. He did know that. So it's quite possible the devil said, you know, if I just end Jesus right here, I drown him and all his disciples in this great storm, Christianity's over, and whatever he was up to, I just ended it all, whatever threat he had to my kingdom. So I believe it's quite possible the devil's intent was to send the Lord and the disciples to the bottom of the sea. Bam, Christianity's over, just like that. Besides that, Brother Dave pointed out one time that Jesus rebuked the storm. So if the Father had sent the storm, it's not likely Jesus would be rebuking the storm. So possibly, the devil sent this storm. It's quite possible. I do believe that the devil sends storms into our lives. Trials, troubles, afflictions. I believe the Lord allows those things at times. Yeah. Being a Christian doesn't prevent you from going through storms. In fact, being a Christian may actually invite some of the storms. It may actually attract them in some cases. But here's another possibility. Maybe the Lord sent the storm. Maybe the Lord allowed this storm. I know he does allow storms in our life. I think I could really preach an entire message on this, how the Lord allows storms to accomplish his purposes. He prunes us. John chapter 15, whosoever bears fruit, hey, he prunes them. So they bear more fruit, even more fruit. We know that he allows these things to correct us, to sometimes to chasten us, to prove us. How many times did he tell Israel, these trials, these tests are to prove you who you're going to serve? Because, you know, like I said, can bring out the best, can bring out the worst. Sometimes people fall away from the Lord at times like this. Other times people are drawn to the Lord at times like this. I do know that the storms will show us that we're totally dependent on him. And that the things we own, yeah, not that are really not secure in this world. And we ought to hold them loosely, hold them with a loose grip, because they can be taken away from us. I also know that some storms, especially this weather phenomena, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanic eruptions, I believe all of this can just really be a result of the world has fallen. Man has fallen. Sin has damaged not only us, but it's damaged the entire created order. Right. And the world is groaning. All of the earth groans under mankind's sin. The world is broken. We live in a broken world. But sometimes these things are what they would call acts of God or natural phenomenon. But it's really, I think, the effect of a broken world in many cases. And then I do believe that sometimes we create our own storms. That things happen in our lives that don't need to happen. But they happen because maybe we get in the flesh, we get in sin, we do things we're not supposed to do, we say things we shouldn't be saying, we create a whirlwind in our own home or in our own family, in our own workplace, a sinning parent, a sinning child, an addict. We create our own whirlwinds many times. And then we want to wonder why the Lord's allowing it to happen. I do remind us all, the Lord is still faithful in the storms. Amen. And I do have a last thought. I saw a post a couple of weeks ago on social media that I thought was pretty good. It said, "We're not all in the same boat, but we're all in the same storm." We're all in the same storms. Not all in the same boat, but we are all in the same storms. And the point they were making is this. It was a Christian sight. And even though we're all Christians, we're all believers, we're all traveling from this shore to the other side, the Lord's with us all, but we really aren't all in the same boat. Because some people, they're just much more affluent than others. They're sailing through the sea of life on a mega yacht. Others are in a rowboat. Some are just holding on to a piece of debris. We're not all in the same boat, but we're all in the same storms of life. Everybody's circumstances are different. That's the idea. We're all going through different circumstances. Some suffer much. Some suffer in different ways, some going through financial storms, others through marital storms, others through great physical trial, others going through problems in their family. We're not all in the same boat, but we are all going through storms, storms of all kinds. Here in Mark 4 and verse 36, the apostles were in one small boat, but look, there were other little boats following. They weren't all in the same boat, but they're all in the same storm. Other Christians, other disciples, and I also remind us that no matter how big your boat is, if you're in a storm at sea, a mega seismos, a hurricane at sea, that's a tiny little boat. No matter how big your home is, when the hurricanes blow, when the tornadoes come, you realize a big house is not impervious to damage, destruction. And behind many a fancy door, there's a lot of broken people who are empty, who need the Lord so desperately, whose lives are a shamble, who are going through trials and troubles, same as others. Behind every door, there are people going through storms, amen, storms of life. So I'm going to encourage us all, give each other grace. Yes. Love each other. Forgive each other. Yes. Don't take offense with each other. And let me just finish by asking us all a question. How are you doing? Considering all that we've been going through, how are you doing through the storm? And how are you doing now in the storm's aftermath? Are you still singing? Amen. Are you still singing? Do you still have your voice of praise? Do you still have your voice of rejoicing, of thanksgiving? I mean, how are you doing through the storm? Are you still able to lift your hands and shout? I was so happy to be here this morning. I just wanted to sing and shout and thank the Lord for being faithful through the storms. Are you still praying? Are you still trusting the Lord? Are you still counting on Him? Are you still opening up the book of God and feeding your spirit through His Word? How are you doing through the storm? Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your peace? Have you lost your faith? Have you kept your joy? Have you kept your peace? Have you kept your faith? Let's remember, our God is still faithful in the storms. He's still faithful in the storms. Lord, I pray today. I pray for each of us. Lord, you know what each of us are going through. You know our trial, our trouble. You know our distresses. You know our sorrows. And Lord, we look to you as our comfort, as our source, as our supply, and as our strength. Lord, we look to you to keep us and preserve us and take us all the way through this life, even through the storms to the other side. I pray, Lord, that we give mercy and grace to one another. I pray, Lord, that you forgive us if we've lost our victory, if we've lost our peace. Forgive us, Lord, if we've let our joy just be reduced to a trickle. Forgive us, Lord, if we've let our peace be troubled. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, that we keep our joy, keep our peace, keep the song in our heart, keep the thanksgiving in our heart through all the storms, no matter what we're going through. And Lord, I pray that you help each and every one of us to cast our burdens upon you. We cast these burdens on you, knowing, Lord, that you care for us. You care. You care for us. You care for each of us. You know what we're going through. You care. Thank you for caring, Lord. Thank you for keeping us, Lord. Thank you for preserving us, Lord. We pray for one another, Lord, those who have suffered loss. We pray for our brothers and sisters who still don't have electricity, some whose homes are unlivable. We pray that you provide for them one and all and help us to be a blessing, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we've a song in our heart. Praise from our lips, peace and joy and thankfulness to you for all that you've done and are still doing. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's faithful in the storms. We're going to have...